Hi, coaches. It's Whitney from Get the Pancake. I know we are a ways away from summer, but that means it's the perfect time to plan, right? It's tough to say when we'll all be heading back to the gym, but there is one event that we should all plan on this summer. And in my opinion, it's the number one way to improve volleyball in your area. As a bonus, it's easier than almost anything else when it comes to coaching. So, what is it? It's open gyms. Don't get me wrong, volleyball camps and clinics, they're great. They're a fun introduction to volleyball and they work with the schedules of busy parents. So I do believe that camps and clinics are worthwhile. Heck, I run them. But I'm just going to be honest with you and say that I've seen players have better results from 1 to 2 hours a week of open gyms all summer than from a couple of 1 week skills camps. Let me repeat that. Players at the end of the summer, if all they did was participate in open gyms, even if it's just an hour a week, and then you take those players and compare them to the ones who signed up for a couple of camps over the summer, I can almost guarantee that the player who did open gyms only is going to be better prepared for the next season than the players who came to the camps. Now, there's a few reasons that I believe that's true, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, I want to explain sort of the organization of a typical open gym. As I said, these are easier to plan than most anything else, even easier than your typical practice during the season. But there are a couple of things that we need to keep in mind when we're planning for an open gym. So first of all, numbers. You never really know what you're going to get. Even if you ask people to tell you ahead of time, unless you're doing a registration for your open gyms, you're probably not going to have an accurate idea of how many players are coming. Even if you're asking parents to reach out to you, let you know if they're going to come or not. If you offer open gym on a drop-in basis, who knows how many people are going to show up. That can be good, that can be bad. So you never really know the numbers, and that means you never really know the number of coaches or even courts that you'll need. I've gone to plenty of open gyms where there were 6 coaches and maybe only 3 or 4 of us were really needed. And I've also been to some where there were 2 or 3 of us and 6 or even more would have been much better. So there are a couple of downsides. Unless you can get a better idea of how many people are going to come to your open gyms, then you won't need to worry about those 2 issues. So when looking at a typical open gym, since you don't know how many players are going to come, it's best to avoid drills or any sort of skill instruction that requires a certain number of players. I know there are plenty of drills out there that are good for groups of 2, groups of 3, groups of 4. Unless you know for sure how many people are coming, I would avoid that. There are so many other drills that don't require a certain number of players for them to be executed correctly that you can just avoid planning those types of drills. Also, I would highly encourage you to plan drills that can be player initiated. Especially if you're running short on coaches, you don't want to have a coach tossing the ball in every other play and not really able to offer anything other than just making sure that the drill is going on. Just because it's an open gym doesn't mean there's no coaching going on. In fact, I actually love the open gym environment for coaching because you are free to sort of wander around and give feedback as needed. And since it's an open gym, there's no real expectation for instruction. So if someone needs 10 minutes of help on their serve, you can do that. And if another person only needs 3 minutes, no one's going to call you and be upset later that you're playing favorites or that you're not spending time equally with everyone. Obviously, you don't want to just be working with one player the whole time, but there is a little more freedom in coaching. And so if you can free up your coaches, get them out of the drill initiation process, not only are you going to have your players contacting the ball more, learning better ball control, but you're also going to be able to coach more as well. Depending on how long you want your open gyms to last, whether you want to do a 1 hour open gym, 2 hour open gym, you really want the entire thing to be high intensity, game-like. You want there to be fast-moving drills, just as many touches on the ball per player. That's what you're shooting for. an example of probably one of the slowest drills that you could choose is hitting lines. That's just your standard coach tosses to the setter, setter sets it. Maybe it's a good set or not. Maybe somebody hits it. Really limit drills like hitting lines. However, if you can increase maybe the game likeness by adding hitting lines versus defense or having two setters at a time, maybe incorporate a little bit of conditioning. All I'm saying is that we just really want to avoid those slow drills where everyone's standing around. If you start a drill and realize, oh no, this is going really slow, there's a lot of standing around, people look bored, just change things right away. Don't let it go on much longer. And you don't even have to say anything about it. Just be like, okay, guys, we're going to wrap this up in just a couple minutes. And then move on to whatever other high intensity, quick drill you can think of. Now, I mentioned you might want to do 1 or 2 hours. 1 hour is fine, especially if players don't have to travel very far and you can keep it high tempo. If you do have players who have to travel a little bit further, maybe you live out in a more rural area, or you have players traveling long distances if you're in a city, then maybe 2 hours would be better. That way the players will feel like traveling there is more quote unquote worth it because they're getting an extra hour in. Okay, so that was just kind of an overview. So an open gym, when you're planning it, you want to make sure that the drills that you're choosing don't require a certain number of players, that they can be player initiated, that they are high intensity, game-like, quick moving drills, and then plan for 1 to 2 hours depending on maybe the age of your players. So younger players, a shorter session might be better, or older players who are traveling further, maybe 2 hours is better to make it more worth their time to travel there. So those are some general things to keep in mind. Now let's talk about the specific layout of my preferred open gym. So we're going to do a quick warm-up that has a lot of basic dynamic movements to get the muscles awake. But just because we're talking about warm-ups and dynamic movements, it doesn't mean that this has to be through quote-unquote stretching. You can get a good warm-up in using a volleyball too. It doesn't have to be all skipping and arm circles. Whether that's something as basic as peppering or running a warm-up drill like the down ball game or Columbus after you've done even just 2 to 3 minutes of dynamic stretching, that's going to be a good way to ease your players into volleyball. And they're going to get more touches on the ball, which is what they're paying for or what they're coming to open gym for, is to play volleyball. If you have less experienced players who need more instruction because, quite frankly, sometimes they just can't keep a rally going, then we can do some basic ball control to get started. So you could start with them standing in base, have them pass from there, and then maybe work on transitioning just to get them moving a little bit. Now, transitioning and moving from base into defense, for example, might not be something that everyone understands. In a camp or in team practices, we would take the time to stop and explain everything. But open gym, the focus is more on go, 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 and learn as you're doing instead of stopping and breaking everything down. And honestly, just get the players moving. Don't stop to explain. You're taking away momentum from the open gym. You can explain as it's going, especially if you have an extra coach who can sort of talk over the drill and explain why you're doing what you're doing as you're doing it. But I would really avoid pausing the action unless it is a critical error that everyone is making. So I might pause it to demonstrate swinging our arms versus not swinging our arms. If the majority of players are still swinging their arms after my verbal instruction, doesn't really seem to be changing anything. But otherwise, I would avoid stopping the action unless you absolutely need to. So that basic couple of laps maybe with some dynamic stretching, try to spend no more than 5 minutes on that. Jump into a warm-up game that you want to avoid full swings or diving. Again, down ball game and Columbus are great for that. I'll include links to those in the description for the show, or just some basic ball control drills that gets players moving and passing in a game-like manner. So you don't want to necessarily be be tossing to them from the same side of the court, you want to be hitting down balls over the net or something like that. So that will take about 10 to 15 minutes to get through that warm-up. If you're doing 1 hour, which is what I recommend, you've got 45 minutes left. So what are we going to do next? Well, as with private lessons and practices, it's nice to balance a high-intensity drill with something a little slower paced to follow. So normally I would recommend working on serving for about 10 minutes, going through a serving warm-up with a partner. So like starting at the 10-foot line and then working back to the service line. Then they can serve to their partner for a couple minutes, and then you can do free serving where players can work on different types of serves. And this can be as specific or as general as you want it. And what I mean by that, you can just let players serve and they can work on whatever they want. Or maybe you can set up cones and say, okay, we're going to work on serving down line. We're going to work on serving cross court. It's an open gym. You can do really whatever you want. Try and make adjustments so that you are challenging the majority of players and even giving options to players. So let's say I have a younger group where accuracy isn't maybe the thing that we really need to focus on. Maybe we just are working on getting the ball over and working on form and everything. However, you have a couple of advanced players and you want to make sure that they're feeling challenged too and saying, okay, we're just going to try and get the ball over. That's not going to be exciting to them. So you can lay down cones and say to your players, okay, after you guys feel comfortable getting the ball over and in, then we can work on serving cross court and down line. Especially with younger players, all I do is just set up cones down the middle of the court. Technically, we would probably want the ball to be served to more specific zones, but this is a great way just to introduce the concept of aiming to your players. And if players know that they don't need to work on it, that's fine. If they're ready for that challenge, they can work on it on their own. But this is giving your players options and making sure that you're benefiting a wider range of skills. And I'm just going to say it, whenever you work on serving, it doesn't matter what age group you're working with, there's always going to be at least one or two players that want to work on their jump serve. Now, it's up to you if you want to allow that. Maybe your club has certain philosophies to follow. I know there are plenty of coaches who believe you have to have your overhand serve figured out before you progress to your jump serve. I would say I'm mostly in that camp. But at the same time, what's the harm in teaching them sort of what it feels like, what it looks like? They don't have to do it. And in fact, even the players who get really good at jump serves, it usually takes a little bit of prodding to get them to do it in a game. So if you want to allow jump serves, just make sure that you talk about it with the entire group and talk about how to check to make sure it's safe to do so, that players need to check their surroundings before they go for that jump serve, especially when they're focusing so hard on their footwork and their toss. It's easy to forget that there are balls rolling around on the court and that something might come and fly and hit you in the face. I mean, that's just... that happens sometimes. So just encourage your players to help each other out. Keep an eye out for each other if they are going to work on their jump serves. Coaches, it's time to gear up for your next season. When tryouts roll around, you don't want to be scrambling to put together a plan for this year's team. Evaluation forms, goal setting worksheets, team bonding activities. Having the right tools makes a huge difference. That's why Get the Pancake is committed to creating resources for volleyball coaches that are simple and fun to use. My personal recommendation, check out our Ultimate Packet. This 50-page download has every printable we offer at 20% off. Go to getthepancake.com today to get the tools you need to have your best season yet. All right, so we've done some ball control or an easy warm-up game for about 15 minutes, work on serving for about 10 more. We've done a water break or two. So let's just say we've got about 30 minutes left. Unless you know your group has something very specific that they need to work on, I would just encourage playing games for the rest of the open gym. In addition to coaching this whole time, we're always going to be reinforcing communication. And that means not only praising players when they're loud on the court, but through demonstrating what to say and when to say it. I usually advise coaches to stay off of the court unless absolutely needed, but in an open gym setting, it can be helpful to have a coach jump on with younger players to model the behavior that you want to see. This is true especially with younger kids, because a lot of the time they just don't know where to stand, where to go, what to say. But if you can have a coach out there modeling what needs to be done, the kids are going to learn just by watching, and they'll become more confident in their own actions because they'll know they're doing the right thing since that's what their coach is doing. And so you're going to see a quicker improvement and understanding of the concepts if you have an extra coach or two that can jump on the court and demonstrate what is the proper way to move on the court, what to say, when to say it. Not only is a coach great for modeling what we need to do on the court for younger players, but I really love seeing coaches get on the court with older players, because coaches not only up the intensity dramatically when they jump on the court with older players, just because, you know, that coach is probably going to be the loudest person on the court, moving correctly, doing everything right, doing everything that you want your players to be doing. But the players, especially those 15-year-olds, 16-year-olds, they're going to want to beat you. So I love jumping on the court with that age group, because if they go up and they smash the ball down and let's say the coach shanks it or something, then the players love it. Of course, when the coach goes up and they can smash it down against the players too, that's even better. That just makes the players want to work harder. But remember, we're playing at an age-appropriate level. So if you are some sort of superstar, just tone it down a little bit, okay? It's not that cool to go up and smash a ball down against a 12-year-old. Honestly, I'm surprised that I have to say that, but there are a lot of coaches that just go out and play as hard as they can against even the youngest players. So next time you maybe go up to hit or something and you're thinking about smashing it, just in that split second go, is this actually a good idea or not? Older teams, go for it. But younger kids, you can still hit it harder at them, but try and hit it at them. Give them a good chance of returning it. Another thing that I love about open gyms is that it's fun learning versus structured learning that you have in camps and clinics. So open gyms, as a player, gives you a little more freedom than in a camp. It feels more okay to make a mistake in an open gym because everything's just so fast moving that the coach isn't going to pick apart anyone for making a mistake or isn't going to pause the action. It's just like, okay, you made a mistake. Here comes the next ball. You don't have time to worry about it. And it also gives coaches a little more freedom working with individuals at their own level. You know, I already discussed trying to challenge players through serving, giving them options for what they want to work on. But you can work with one person a little bit more if they need it, another a little bit less, just give them some guidance. Honestly, there's a little bit less expected out of coaches. And I think just the reduced pressure and the fun nature of open gyms, it actually leads to more learning. So when we have that last 30 minutes of the hour, we want to run games. I would say run two games. So 15 minutes gives players enough time to really get into the drill and figure it out, start to improve skills. 20 minutes is almost too long and lets them get bored. And 10 minutes is too fast to really dive in. So I think two drills for the last 30 minutes is going to be good. The free ball down ball game is always an excellent choice. And of course, Queen of the Court is fun and nobody ever dislikes Queen of the Court. If you are running open gyms regularly, you can mix it up week to week. So 1 week you can do 4 versus 4. The next week you can do 3 versus 3. You can have setters that stay. You can have new people rotate in to be setters. You can initiate with a serve or a free ball or a down ball. There's just a lot of flexibility with Queen of the Court. You can also do wash drills that just sort of filter people on and off the court. Again, I do encourage coaches to jump in and play at an age-appropriate level, especially when you're into the second half of the open gym playing games. So why do I recommend open gyms above camps and clinics? Well, camps are a great introduction to volleyball skills, and they definitely have their place in introducing the sport to new and intermediate athletes. Clinics are awesome because you can focus on one or two skill sets at a time with specific groups. So whether that's a hitters and setters clinic or serving clinic, those are great opportunities for a player to really dive deeper into certain skills. But at the end of the day, the game teaches the game. Playing volleyball is the best way to learn how to play volleyball. Now, I can't remember where I read it, unfortunately, but this was early on in my coaching career, so I'm sure it's either in the Volleyball Coaching Bible or somewhere online, but I read the best way to teach passing is through pass, set, hit. The best way to teach setting is through pass, set, hit. And the best way to teach hitting is through pass, set, hit. You learn to play volleyball by playing volleyball. Players will become better at reading the situation, better at moving on the court, better at reacting to the ball. There's a lot more chaos built into a lot of these game-like drills that you're going to be running. And being in that situation is going to teach the game better than a coach tossing the ball 5 times to your left, 5 times to your right. Okay, now move over here, pass it 5 more times. Okay, great, next. You know, that's not going to teach volleyball at a high level. That's great as an introduction, but even players who are new to the sport can jump on the court in an open gym setting and learn more that way. So your summer planning just got a little easier, right? You'll probably still want to hold camps and clinics. Again, those just work really well with parents' schedules, and they are great for skill instruction and an introduction of the sport to players. Plus, working one-on-one with players who want to sharpen their skills through private lessons, that's awesome too. And you can really improve individual players or groups of 2 or 3, really take them to the next level in their own personal careers. But regular open gyms throughout the summer, it's the easiest way to improve the level of play in your area, usually the easiest to plan, and it's the cheapest for athletes in most situations. So that is a win-win-win for me. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you for listening to the Get the Pancake podcast. Be sure to rate the show and leave a review. Also, go and check out getthepancake.com for coaching advice and inspiration.